A United Nations team arrived in Baghdad this weekend. Its job is to determine whether it's feasible to meet a June 30th deadline to transfer power from the United States to Iraqis. The Bush administration publicly insists that the timetable remains realistic, but UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says it may be necessary to postpone the deadline. Foreign policy analyst Phoebe Marr is the author of The Modern History of Iraq. She joins us in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Delighted to be here.
Whether the timetable is realistic or not, American troops are going to remain in Iraq in large numbers for the foreseeable future. Do you anticipate a genuine transfer of power from the United States to Iraqis?
All things are relative, and some power will be transferred, and some probably will not be. Perhaps that's a mischoice of words, but we are going to have, as I understand it, about 110,000 troops there will be responsible for security. Iraq has no army yet at the moment. So that will certainly be an area, defense, security, where the United States will have a considerable stay. We are also going to be spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $18 billion, $20 billion, and there is a huge organization for reconstruction of Iraq, which is going to be under U.S. control, and anyone who spends that much money in a country is going to have some say over it. And last but not least, we're reputedly going to have the largest U.S. embassy in the world in Baghdad. So one can assume that some of the personnel and functions that are currently under the CPA, the Coalition Provisional Authority, will be folded into the embassy. Nonetheless, there will be a turnover, presumably, if it meets the deadline, and political issues, local government, domestic politics, to a considerable degree, will be now the preserve of the Iraqis.
And how much do the various ethnic and sectarian differences threaten the possibility for a smooth transition to Iraqi self-rule?
This is a power struggle. One should call it what it is, and that's not. There's nothing wrong with that, and it's not unusual. But there are at least three groups that have to be satisfied. The Kurds in the north, who have had virtual independence and who want to keep much of it. The rest of Iraq, mainly Arab, is willing to give them some autonomy, but not as much as they want. That issue has to be, they have to compromise on it. The Shia of Iraq constitute a majority. Some say 55%, some say 60. They want 60% of the seats in the new government. Fine, but what will that mean? Will it give power to people who want more religion, less religion? How much authority will it put in the hands of the Shia religious clerics? That, too, is very contentious, because the 40% that are Sunni don't want it. There are many secularists, including Shia, who don't want that. So how much religion, how much Shia influence is another issue. And, of course, the Sunni population, which is a minority, which was the population that had power before, has lost it. They are the main losers. And perhaps it's not surprising that it's from this group that we have the insurgency. How to bring the Sunnis back into the political framework and give them a stake in policy without bringing back the Ba'ath, because the Ba'ath, of course, was mainly Sunni. These issues are very contentious, and to be frank about it, it's probably going to take quite some time to get some kind of compromises, but some kind of immediate compromise in the next 6, 9 months, a year, whatever, is going to have to take place to get some kind of a framework to get a government together.
And so where do you think this will lead ultimately in terms of Iraqi politics, in terms of Iraqi society?
If the major contenders, the ones we're talking about, the Kurds under their leaders, the Shia under the leaders who have emerged, some Sunni leaderships, can compromise. Compromise is not generally part of their political culture, but if they can make some compromises, even if gradually, Iraq can establish the basis over the long term to develop a constitution, elections, and something a little bit more democratic. If they can't compromise, the worst-case scenario is that everybody loses control, and you could get more violence, even a civil war, and a breakdown of authority in Iraq. That's the worst-case scenario. Even under the best scenario, I think we're going to have a long period, 3 to 5 years, of the struggle for power and these issues being ironed out.
Phoebe Marr is a former senior fellow at the National Defense University. She's the author of The Modern History of Iraq. Thanks very much for coming in.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.